This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasan with Noel Lim and Kusa Chuang in the studio this morning on this glorious morning where there is no sun yet. It's still darkness over the Klang Valley. But yes, I'm joined by the original gangsters of The Morning Run, Noel Lim and Kusa Chuang in the studio this morning. How are you both doing?
Well, as a gangster, in the early morning, I don't feel very gangsterish right now. But it feels like this week is going to be like a new week for Malaysia, right?
Yes, definitely. Tomorrow we're going into the recovery movement control order. And it'll be interesting to see how we... Well, I think most things will have... The restrictions have been lifted or we're seeing new regulations. Only a few things are still not allowed. To the other gangster in the room, Kusa Chuang, how are you doing this morning?
I think the main thing is that you can now go out station. Okay.
Can't wait to go out to Penang like you.
My kid's been bugging me, like these fellas, I tell you. The hawker stalls doth call.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
The street food doth call.
The call of the Pearl of the Orient.
The call of the Hokkien Mee and the Chak Kway Teow. I got friends in Langkawi. They said Langkawi bookings have gone off the scale. Gone through the roof.
Yeah, but you know that news around that there was 1,000 bookings, that was apparently fake news.
That one is a Donald Trump phrase.
That's a Donald Trump phrase. But, you know, we've got lots of exciting stuff for you. And at 12:30 p.m. today, actually, on Facebook Live, I'll be hosting a webinar with BFM founder Malik Ali, and we'll be taking a look at job losses and pay cuts, actually, at this one, especially on the back of last week, I think SOCSO reported, that's the Social Security Organization, that job losses in Malaysia increased by 42% on year. So today we're going to be speaking to financial planners to explore your options and how to manage the situation. That's happening at 12:30 p.m. on Facebook Live. But for right now, for the Morning Run 6 a.m. stretch, Noel Lim, what are you taking a look at today?
No more Pizza Fridays. Too bad for some companies because now more people may be working from home. I think there are already some companies who have announced that employees who can do so can continue to work from home till the end of the year or maybe even permanently.
And Kusa Chuang, what are you regaling us with this morning?
It's all about the RMCO, bro.
You're trying to make a new song here.
Details, bro. Details. I'll be coming up with the details.
You got details. The details for us, right?
The gangsters coming up with details.
Oh, God. I regret bringing that up. Now, right after this, we'll be taking a look at classes. Classes go online. Should students be looking at delaying, maybe taking a gap year? That's happening after this. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. That was You Give Love a Bad Name from Bon Jovi. That was off their album, I think 1986 album, Slippery When Wet. And fun fact, this made the number one US Billboard Hot 100 back in 1986. Did you know that, Kusa Chuang?
I didn't know that till you told me.
Well, right now, we're taking a look at options that students have because obviously we've seen a lot of disruption from COVID-19. Students are going online to do their classes. And I think for the new intake of students, the question is coming up, should they delay their studies? Is it worth going to university at this point? Noel Lim, what do you think?
Well, there are a few questions, right? I think what is important to you? Is it the experience of being in a campus or just getting out quickly, right? And I know my answer back a few decades ago. It was to get out quickly. And of course, if you're on a scholarship, then you just grab it and go, whether you study online or offline. But I think there are some other considerations now, like... maybe you should just go for a local option. Because there were people who, you know, when their children came back, they still had to continue to pay the fees for the accommodation. So there are some cost considerations. So whether you should go for a local option, do 1 year locally until things have stabilized, then you go overseas. Or, you know, you just start and you know, just get out quickly.
Yeah, a friend of mine actually asked me the same thing because she's got a daughter that had that gained entry. She's quite a smart kid. Two or three British universities, good ones, you know, like UCL and King's and I think Bristol as well. Then she also got into some of the local colleges. The difference in price is stark. I mean, it's something like £50,000 or 35,000 ringgit, right? It's a no-brainer in terms of a cost perspective, but being on campus is hugely preferable. The thing is, now it's all done online. So even though it's done online, they can't go to campus, they still charge the same fee. So I told her, hey, you must just save the money and let your your daughter go traveling off even before, you know. So that, I mean, the whole concept of the gap year, whether you do it before your undergrad or after your undergrad.
Yeah, I think the concept of a gap year is interesting, right? Because if you do it right, or even when you do it wrong, there are things to be learned from that time.
Like, absolutely.
If you spent 1 year, if you wasted 1 year, and then you go to uni and you see all your friends who've maybe done a bit more with their lives, you kind of start learning the value of time, right? But when you're 18, 19 years old, you've got a lot of time ahead of you. That's the time you make mistakes. Like I wasted, I think, 6 months. And after that, I was like, yeah, I should have done more with my time. Then it kind of gives you a different perspective of it. And I really do encourage, because at 18 years old, what do you really know? I mean, I sound really old. I am catching myself there. But it's, what do you know about what you want to do in 7 years, in 7 years' time, right? Are you sure that the path, that if you study chemical engineering, is that really what you want to do? Or are you doing it based on the fact that, oh, you think you're going to get a good job after? A lot of people went into oil and gas thinking that it was going to be good for a long time.
I think a lot of people underestimate the value of travel. I think a lot of people underestimate the value of travel when you're 18. Because when you travel at 18, it's very different from when you travel at, say, 25. And thenceforth, 25, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old. When you go on a gap year at 18 or 21 years old, you will discover the world in a way you've never seen it through the lens of before. You'll interact with different cultures. You'll see how different economies work. You'll see how you'll understand the value of interpersonal skills, financial management. You'll understand the value of confusion and uncertainty, right? Because flights change, buses will be delayed, et cetera, et cetera.
I think the confusion and uncertainty is very important. Absolutely. To point out, because up till then, obviously, when we're talking about gap year, we might be talking about a particular group of kids who maybe offer a certain level of privilege as well, right? Maybe most things have been taken care of. So that confusion is actually very important, because I was one of those kids for a long time. And until you're put into a situation where you have to take care of yourself, you start learning about these things, start thinking about them.
Yeah, so for me, my priority was really to get through university and come out and work quickly, right? I mean, for financial reasons. But I remember in my second year, I did, because the summer is about 2-3 months break, right? So I actually lived in Czech Republic, in Prague, for 2 months.
Nice.
Yeah, I taught English there, and in a school, and it's quite a major public school there. The mayor's kid was attending that school. And it was very interesting, because at the time, it was 1995, giving away my age, but it was a period of time when, you know, people were confused, right? They were moving from this communist regime to something, a more freer economy. So the kids there, teenage level, they were actually questioning a lot of things about life and what they were going to do when they come out. So it was a very exciting period for them. And for me, it was really an eye-opener, because obviously I've never really been exposed to a communist regime thing. And so it was quite a nice experience. And I went there with a friend. So I think that was also good for me. Then, of course, then we traveled around, you know, quite cheaply. Eastern European at the time was, you know, really cheap to travel.
Yeah. I'm sure that students there must have been quite intrigued by the fact that they're being taught English by a Chinese person from Malaysia.
Yeah,
must have spun them out.
Yeah, they were. But I could see their priorities were really about their life and what they were going to do.
Yeah, I mean, even if you don't go abroad and study, I'm a big proponent of working, especially when you're younger.
Absolutely.
I think it's a good way to learn about life, especially if you get your hands dirty. Ideally, I would have loved my brother to go into F&B before he went off to uni.
Yeah.
But obviously, my parents are different, had different intentions for him.
Well, earlier you said that privileged kids get to travel, right? I met so many poor kids from poor families that have been working their way around the world. So they'll land in a place, they'll work, they'll wait tables, and then there's a thing called work away, right? Where you work at the place where you that, and then you get free accommodation and free food.
Yes. And if you're not familiar, those are the technical terms. And Chuang will explain to us at some point what they mean.
Yes, it's in the Merriam-Webster and the Collins as well.
But not Cambridge.
No, not Cambridge.
Okay, not that high level, bro. So right now we're going into a few messages. And when we come back, we'll be taking a look at no more pizzas on Fridays and whether you should be worried about that. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Pumped Up Kicks by Foster and the People, released back in September 2010. And I'm Roshan Kanesan with Noel Lim and Kusu Chuang in the studio this morning. Right now, we're taking a look at what kind of, how could office perks change in the new normal? Now, obviously, companies are going through a tough time at this point, but if the current trend of working from home or partially working from home continues, how does this change the way that we, that companies operate? So, you know, right now you get food in the pantry, you get drinks in the fridge. What kind of, I think some people are looking at, some companies have been offering meditation apps. And for this, I look at Noel Lim for some advice here.
Yeah, so looking at this article by the Wall Street Journal, it says here, no more pizza Friday. So I think it means that Fridays, there is like this big makan, right? So they're going to cut that down because many people are working at home. So now, So what has what have some companies done? They Hewlett Packard, for example, they're offering a meditation mindfulness services from Headspace, and I think also yoga classes. I think really much depends on how the company feels about, you know, spending money, right? I can imagine, like, you know, the typical SME in Malaysia, they're not going to be like, this will be seen to be like luxuries, right? Having said that, I think there are ways to be creative. For example, you may have staff who have many talents, right? And they could be sharing online just to, you know, at least still foster some community spirit within the company, although everyone's working from home.
Yeah, so this has got to reflect the cultural norms of the country in which it is located, right? So as you're right, the other day, we have a little bit of Public Bank shares. And when you get sent the stuff from Public Bank, it's very different from when you get sent stuff from CIMB, right? So you can tell the frugality, relatively speaking, of the two banks. But it's interesting because in the US, at least, it's all about mental health. And I know in Australia, it's the same thing because my friends tell me the same thing, right? But you can also help your staff, right? You can give them financial incentives or even free money to go and buy laptops, webcams, you know, devices which enable you to work better at home, maybe better quality chairs, for example, you know, maybe some money to go and buy a good table, you know, things that will help your productivity. I think it'll go down quite well as well. So hardware and software.
Yeah. And I think it's one of the things I'm wondering as well is, as let's say you get half a capacity office, right? Which means maybe you get half the food, or maybe you want to change the current benefit system that you already have, whether it's gym systems or the type of food, or maybe even those office lunches that you have. Like the example we used was Pizza Friday. You can't have Pizza Friday if there's no one in the office and you don't have
You get food vouchers, right?
Yeah, so it's like, how do you change that? And obviously, we're not talking about right now because companies have better things to do with their money, like surviving this the economic repercussions right now. But yeah, things like those digital apps, right? I think some companies are doing the ClassPass thing, which is everyone giving their employees ClassPass credits so that they can go to whatever gym they choose to go to and reimburse them in that way. It all comes back into that compensation package as a whole, right?
So one thing, we can address all that, right? The material needs, right? Through some vouchers and all that. But what's really important is to keep the teams together. And sometimes it's not just about, you know, getting online and saying, okay, have you done this? Have you done this? And what do we need to do next? Some of my friends, what they have done is they get together in the morning. It's like they have breakfast together and they don't really talk about work. So everybody is like with their nasi lemak in front of a Zoom call. And then they're just, you know, like just keeping in touch, like, you know, doing all that small talk that they would have done anyway at workplace. So they're trying to replicate some norms, but not take up too much productivity.
That is quite interesting, actually. Zoom makan in the morning.
Yeah, you know, and you would have to imagine that Silicon Valley is trying to catch up as fast as possible, right? Virtual reality, which was quite virtual and which is quite ephemeral, not that long ago. If you put on some goggles, then you can just have a virtual breakfast with your buddies. Do you know what I mean? So I'm sure they're already doing all kinds of stuff.
One thing, though, I think the frequent communication is really key. Just like, you know, making sure people feel all right, like, you know, some assurances they still have a job, or, you know, if there's a pay cut, at least some 3 months planning.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how companies reallocate resources to this. Gym memberships is one thing. But if people are, let's just, an example, if you're only using half capacity at the office now and you get a smaller office, do you reallocate that money to your staff in one way or another, right?
It all comes down to the shareholders, right? Mm-hmm. And what kind of people you have at the top and how benevolent or not they might be. So it all comes down to the corporate culture and the ownership structure themselves. Right? Dot, 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 dot.
Like, Chuang is just subtly just dropping hints all over the place this morning.
Well, you know.
And such.
Our shareholders have to be listening to.
Oh, man. Noah Lim, what would we do without you?
I'm not a shareholder.
Yes, I know. But just the straightforwardness of it all. You know, we've seen, I think,
What would you like to see in terms of, so if, for example, outside would be halved in terms of square footage, right? And there's a lump of money. What would you like to see as staff?
I don't know. I think internet allowance for sure.
Yeah.
Because if you're at
home, just to defray the cost.
Actually, I would like to see
air conditioning cost.
Yes, I would like to see a utility allowance.
Okay.
Because if you are offsetting that, I think people are going to suddenly get a shock now as electricity bills, Tenaga's rolling them out again because I think they didn't give them out in April. people are going to get a shock that, I mean, you inherently know that you're using more electricity, but until you see the actual price tag. So something like that, because now you're not using company electricity, you're not using company internet, you're not using company resources. So if you were looking at it on a fair basis or whatever, you would need to be compensated for that in some way or another. Obviously not now, but at some point in time.
Yeah, so some utility rebate. You, Noel?
Well, okay, so that will address your costs, right? But really long term, I really want to see strategy, company strategy, at least for this 1 year, how they're going to bump up sales. What can I do to help? These are two questions that I'll be really more interested in.
Noel, with all the right questions.
Interesting.
All morning long. Right now, we're going into a few messages. And when we come back, you can always let us know what you think, actually, on Twitter. I forgot to mention this whole morning. BFM Radio is our Twitter handle. And you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Up next is the 6:30 a.m. News Bulletin. And to take you there, Queen with A Kind of Magic. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. That was Kings of Leon with Revelry off their fourth studio album, actually, Only by Night, released back in March 2nd, 2009, only 11 years ago. It makes me feel nice and warm and fuzzy inside thinking I'm 11 years older, but hey. My name is Roshan Kanesan. In studio with me this morning, Noel Lim and Kusu Chuang. And right now we're talking about the biggest news right now. Tomorrow we will be entering the RMCO, moving away from the CMCO. And if these alphabet soups don't make any sense to you, it's okay. Basically, we're moving into the recovery phase of this on the back of the Pajana stimulus package and more relaxed rules coming out from the government on how we will move. So this one in particular, it's straight up from June 10th up till August 31st. No two-week increments. It's they've told us straight up that this is going to be for, I think, that looks like 2 months.
Well, these are just alphabets, right? But I think, not obviously, it's good. The main thing for me here, I think, to be able to travel out of state, I think that's the biggie for also many people. And also, I think they want to spur the local tourism trade, right? I think I'm sure now hotels are going to start to open and they're probably like happy, especially if you're outside KL. The thing is, well, I would like to ask you, would you travel out of KL now?
Yeah, I think so. I'm planning to do next weekend, to go back to Penang and basically eat until I enter a coma of food-induced sleepiness. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I would. I would also go to Penang, I think.
Yeah, would you?
Because I've got family in Penang.
Yeah, come on, man. Let's go together, shall we? Come on. You and on your motorcycle.
No, we can physical distance.
On your motorcycle, I'll go on my motorcycle because bike rides are allowed. Convoys are allowed.
Fantastic. But yeah, Noel, would you go out of state?
Yes, I think I would. Maybe for some short holiday.
Yeah, but
could be one. And gyms are open. Good thing.
But do you know that I think Penang has actually said that they might not adhere to this RMCO. Okay, so I'm not
so they're not going to let you in.
I'm not so sure. But yeah, exactly. Chow Konyan might not want me around for reasons other than this as well.
He's just trying to keep the state safe, John.
I think so.
He's trying to keep it safe from you.
From all kinds of vermin, right?
I didn't say that, but sure. But, you know, one of the things I'm excited about is the fact that the barbers are open again. If you follow me on Instagram, you know that I've become a bit of a bear.
I need a haircut.
I need a beard
cut.
Doesn't
look too bad from here, from my point of view.
I've used my trimmer to kind of clean things up a bit, but I'm not a professional, and this face requires a professional to mold it. But there are lots of things that I think people are looking forward to. I think it's about stimulating the economy in this manner, right? In fact, I was at Bangsar Village yesterday and there was a line in front of Village Grocer. Now, I understand, obviously, that...
That one, memang got one.
I understand it's also because there's a limit to the number of people that can go in, but it was a significantly long line. And Bangsar Village was crowded yesterday.
Yeah. I've been going to a couple of malls around. The one in town, the one that's so good, it's quite packed. Mid Valley, I think, is quite packed. Bangsar Village, quite packed.
So
I think people need to socialize. Like, they're just stuck at home too long.
And I want to see just the data out of, like, the retail associations are telling us about how they're doing, because I mean, this is the first indication of whether we'll actually see that so-called V-shaped recovery, right? Everyone's talking about it. The stock market seems to seem that's a thing that's going to happen. Are we going to say V, a W, a U? I think retail consumer is going to be an interesting indication.
Yeah, one thing I noticed, some restaurants, I think obviously obviously the ones with better food, they are crowded. The ones which to begin with already are, you know, don't serve that good food, they are empty. So I think a matter of time, one thing good thing about this virus, I think it's really starting to level up. Like if businesses are meant to close, they're vulnerable, they are going to be closed.
Yeah, I think that if there's a theme for the next 3 months in terms of this movement control order restrictions, it's basically anything which is public and open air and non-contact is allowed. Anything which is contrary to that is not allowed. I think the big thing for the travel industry is the fact that foreign travel is not allowed, right? So no international flights out, no international flights in. So it's all about local travel. But I think per state, there are different variations. I mean, Penang has made sounds about maybe not adhering to RMCO. Then I think KK as well, East Malaysia, might not even allow, because I think if you enter their territory, you might have to quarantine. So I'm not sure about the state-specific activities.
Yeah, I think if we take a look way, way down under New Zealand, they're lifting all restrictions right now, but they're still enforcing that border control, right? So for them, it's I think maybe they feel that they've cleaned the country clean of COVID-19 and they don't want to bring any imported cases in. But again, country of 5 million people, 15 million sheep, it's maybe a bit more easy to control than 20 million people spread across the country. But This is going to be the state of things until August 31st, and then we'll see whether this RMCO is lifted or changed into something else. But this is all good signs. But even with the relaxation and all of that, it's very, very important to adhere to as many of the protocols as you can. Keep that physical distance. You don't want to see another surge come up. Wash your hands. These are the things that you can keep within your control. And as long as we try our best to stay as safe as possible, it's a flare-up is always possible, right? That's always going to be a probability that something will surge again. But we've brought the case numbers down to a point where we've flattened the curve so the health system can manage. Right now, we are going into a few messages, and when we come back, we'll be taking a look at the local papers and portals. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Futurism by Deer Hunter, released back in all the way back in January 18, 2019, when all we talked about was the trade war. I'm Roshan Kanasin with Kusi Chuang and Noah Lim in the studio this morning. And right now, we're taking a look at the papers and the portals. Noah Lim, you have the NST in front of you. Anything interesting on that paper?
So I have the NST, Sinar Harian, as well, Straits Times Singapore Online. Really, these three newspapers, really, what they're really covering is the first 100 days of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's administration. And so I think it's like all praises for him for leading this country out of this MCO and being able to curb this outbreak. And I think all things said, I think we had a relatively okay time, right? I mean, the government has come up with their stimulus packages, whether it should have been faster, slower, I'm not sure. But I think some jobs have been saved, and you know, there's so much money involved here. And also, I think secondly, in some ways, I think he's proven his leadership, Tan Sri Muhyiddin. When some of his ministers were not towing the line, or they seem, you know, they had their incompetence for all to see, I think Muhyiddin was quite fast in telling them to, okay, take a back seat and let the more competent people take the limelight and be at the front to, you know, present a very confident face of his management.
And Kusi Chuang, what do you have with you?
Well, I've got The Edge, the NST, and The Star in front of me in no particular order. The first story that I want to highlight is on page 17 of The Edge Weekly. But how Joyce Goh has written a story about March credit card impaired loans. So credit cards that didn't get paid spiked a little bit in March, but then normalized in April. So whether or not that's a blip or that's going to be consistency going forward, we don't know. Okay, so what I'm trying to say is that having spoken to a few friends who work in banking, Bank Negara is keeping an eagle's eye watch. They've asked all the banks on a weekly basis to report the state of their loan book, to just watch out to see whether more stimulus or more assistance is required. And I think there's some chance of the loan moratorium being extended all the way to December, which is what the retail guys, you know, that panel we did some weeks ago, that's what they want as well. Okay, the other item from NST Business is the fact that bank deposits are surging, because even though they've not been having to pay their loans down and they've had no income, those who have had excess cash come into their or not having had to spend so much because you don't spend when you stay at home, they've been putting into their bank deposits. So there's been a surge, according to Bank Negara, in CASA, which is your current account and savings account, surged by as much as 13% between March and April. So that's kind of like the same thing. In America, you can see a lot of these people, they've been spending the excess cash on day trading the share market, which is why, that's part of the reason why the share market in America is going berserk, right? The third story is from the Star Business front page. Car sales are expected to rise because of the rebates. Of course, Punjana, I think, the stimulus, they've allowed discounts on excise due sales tax.
No, sales tax.
Sales tax, right? So CKD cars are expected to go down, according to Paul Town, by between 5 and 10% in terms of list price. I've got some empirical evidence. I went to the car dealers. Honda not giving discounts right now. Toyota not giving car discounts. Even Proton as well. Hardly any discounts. So I'm wondering where they're getting the money from. Or they've just gotten together and say, we're not going to cut prices. I don't know.
That you mentioned cars this morning, Chuan. That's on the Malaysian Reserve. Now, on the right, we've got trains. KTMB's proposed merger with RAC to help sustain operations. But on the left of the paper, we've got 3S and 4S, which is the number of services the showroom provides. These car dealerships a better place for recovery. And the gist of the story is essentially, if you've got after sales and servicing, you are more likely to do better during this time. And industry sources have told the Malaysian reserves, although visits or I guess walk-ins have reduced by 50%, the customers that do come in are more serious about buying. So you may be seeing maybe a more filtered process. So unless you're really interested, you're not going to risk going out of your house to go and see a car. So if you're going there, so maybe that's a halfway, half the job, half done for the salespeople over there. But let's see whether the discounts do anything really. 5 to 10% down, how many cars are we actually going to sell? I think we sold 140 cars in March. Even then also, or April, that was, I think, carried over from the month before.
114, I think, was the official figures. Yeah. 114. Down from what, 40,000 year before that?
So, yeah, so car companies need to make up for that lost sales the last 2 months, and they missed out on the Hari Raya season.
Yeah, I mean, certainly in America, a lot of headlines about unbought inventory, but they're actually renting out stadiums. Tankers, shippers, shipping companies have had huge amounts of cars that have not been able to deliver at ports. And of course, Hertz went bankrupt in America, right? So I think 500,000 Hertz cars went on sale. So we haven't seen that kind of implosion in Malaysia yet.
Yeah, but I think it's always... I think cars have been relatively interesting, especially with interest rates down. I did a ring in sense with Joyce Chua of Success Concepts a few weeks ago.
What did she say? Should you or should you not?
Essentially, if you've got the finances to support it, right, and you are already planning or already this is that time frame where you're looking for a car, then it might be a good time to do that. If you've got the financial support to do so. Don't go and buy a car simply because there's a good deal out there. You don't want to simply put yourself in debt. But if you can sustain that debt and your car is already 5 or 6 years old and you regularly change your car every 5 years or so.
5 or 6 years old, man, my car is 31 years old.
Well, Chuan, you are a special being. You're an original gangster. So there's no real need for you to change your car. You need the original gangster type of cars for yourself. Right now, we're going into a few messages. And when we come back, we'll be speaking to Joe Quinlan of the U.S. Bank Trust of America about the U.S. rally in stocks. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.